And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a special episode. There's no Steve, there's no Arian, there's no Dixon, there's no Shaggy, there's no Nate. Well, there's still me. There's still Mike. But ladies and gentlemen, joining me now, she is with the Boston Pride, and because they didn't come out with a Player of the Week for yesterday's game, we'll just say that she was Player of the Week because she did rack up 4 assists, and that is number 13, Kaylee Fratkin. Kaylee, welcome to TXHT.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be on.
So we just decided to de facto name you the Player of the Week. I mean, GG Marvin did have 2 goals and assists. Mary Parker did have 2 goals. But you did have 4 assists to lead the way for the Boston Pride against the Riveters. So I guess you're welcome for that accolade.
Yeah, I was just about to say thank you. Thank you very much. I'll take it.
And then watch, tomorrow the league will just go, oh, the Player of the Week is so-and-so, and it's not Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
But so I'm doing research. Obviously, I've always known who you were because I've been watching you play in the NWHL all 4 seasons. But I did some research. You're actually from Burnaby, Canada.
Yep.
And you also were the very first Canadian to sign with the NWHL back in 2015. Before we go into being the first Canadian to sign with the league, what was it like for you growing up in Burnaby? And who were some of your role models growing up while watching, while playing?
Yeah, so I grew up, obviously, Burnaby, British Columbia. It was pretty well a hockey, big hockey community. So a lot of hockey players. I mean, Burnaby Joe Sakic was kind of the biggest biggest name at the time when I was growing up to come out of Burnaby, and now there's guys like Matt Barzell and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins that are kind of the big guys now in the NHL that have come from Burnaby. But I grew up playing at the Burnaby Winter Club, which was kind of the most competitive organization. I played boys. Girls hockey at the time wasn't really competitive or strong, so I kind of turned to play boys hockey, and a lot of that stemmed from my 2 older brothers. They were definitely my role models growing up. My oldest brother was, like I was telling you earlier, 5 years older than me, and then we have another brother in between us, and they always joked around and said I was like the 3rd Fratkin brother, because we all hung around the rink, we all trained together. I mean, we, you know, we're always doing things. So they were definitely my role models growing up, and kind of shaped me into the hockey player I am now. And yeah, it was fun times growing up in Burnaby.
Who was your favorite NHL team growing up?
Ironically, it was the Detroit Red Wings. I was a big fan. My mom grew up in Windsor, Ontario, so just over the border, and she grew up being a Detroit sports fan, and my dad was very fond of the European players of the 60s and 70s, mainly the 70s, and naturally really liked the Red Wings. So all 3 of us grew up as Red Wing fans in Vancouver. And I think a lot of that stemmed from Bure leaving in after 92 when he left. So we weren't really big Canuck fans then. But my dad really liked the Europeans, and I grew up kind of watching these players like Igor Larionov and, you know, a lot of those Russian players that I like to try and emulate my game after. Wasn't close to it, but tried.
So, obviously, as you mentioned, growing up in Vancouver, you're a Red Wings fan. Who on the Canucks, though, did you really enjoy watching play growing up, being how that was the real hometown team for you?
Yeah, well, the Sedins were players that I loved watching. Any of those types of guys. I mean, before Todd Bertuzzi was, actually, after that he went to go play for the Wings, but Todd Bertuzzi was always fun to watch. He was a super physical guy. But yeah, mainly the Sedins were kind of guys that I really liked to look at. I know they were forwards, but they were kind of the big names growing up in Vancouver and exciting to watch.
Yeah, and then you ended up going and playing 4 years at Boston University, where you played every single game. You had 9 goals, 57 assists. You were a 2013-14 Hockey East All-Star First Team and a Hockey East All-Tournament Team. What was it like? What made you decide to go to Boston University, and then what was it like to be able to play for Boston University?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me when I was kind of like exploring schools and going through that whole recruiting process was being in an area where, in a city where I wanted to be. I grew up obviously very close to Vancouver and was a city kid, so to speak. So I kind of knew being in the being on the East Coast was where I wanted to be. So I kind of ruled out a lot of the Midwest schools. I wanted to go to a school where I didn't necessarily feel secluded to being kind of in the middle of nowhere. So it kind of just found my way towards some of these New England schools, looking at them really heavily. And then my oldest brother had spent some time. He was already a couple years in at Brown. So he was in Rhode Island, and my other brother was going to be looking at going to schools too, and he was playing juniors, but kind of just worked out that I landed on BU. Obviously, the education was a big thing I was looking at, but I wanted to look at a program that was going to be a place where I could enjoy playing hockey, and BU was that. They were a newer program when I was a freshman, so that was kind of fun, being a part of a program that was developing and growing and trying to make a name for itself. So I came in, my freshman class was about eight players, including myself. A lot of girls from the East Coast, no one really from the West Coast. So I didn't really know a lot of people. But it was an awesome experience, obviously living right in the city, living in Boston, and then playing some great hockey teams through Hockey East. And I enjoyed my time at BU. I mean, we went to 4 NCAA tournaments. We won 3 Hockey East championships. We did not win a bean pot, but kudos to the bean pot, for this year, for the BU girls breaking that curse. But yeah, it was a heck of an experience. Went to 2 national championship finals. I mean, looking back at my college career, the different teams that we had through the 4 years, I mean, it was a riot. It was a great time.
Now, after you graduated college, you did actually play in the Nations Tournament, where you won gold representing Canada.
Yep.
And then you also participated with the Boston Blaze of the Canadian Women's Hockey League, where you actually won the 2015 Clarkson Cup championship. What was it like being part of the Nations Tournament and also the Cup run for the Boston Blaze and the CWHL?
Both of those experiences were really cool, and to do that in the same year was pretty special. I had just graduated from BU and was going off to play in that tournament. Nations Cup was cool. It was kind of ironic because I had been a part of the under 18 team with Team Canada in World Championships, were in Fussen, Germany, way back. Now I'm looking back, I'm like, holy cow, it was old. But under 18s, we were in Fussen for my first time at World Championships. And then all of a sudden, full circle later, I was being a part of the, Nations Cup team, and we were again in Fussen, Germany at the same rink. It was kind of like this whole flashback to my under 18 experience. We didn't win in under 18. We lost to USA in the final. So to go back and then win a gold medal there was pretty cool. Obviously, US doesn't participate in that tournament, but it's still an international tournament, and that was awesome. Anytime you're representing your country and wearing the jersey, I mean, that's like an unbelievable experience. So that was awesome. And then to then go and win a Clarkson Cup too, it was kind of, you're on this high to win like that, to win two kind of big moments. And that was kind of my first championship really out of college with the Clarkson Cup to win something like that. So the team we had is, you know, a couple of quite a few similar players to the team that we have now with Boston Pride. So that was an awesome year with a good group of girls.
And then, of course, that summer you then would become the first Canadian to sign with the NWHL, which was going into its first season. What did that mean to you to be the first Canadian to sign up with this brand new league?
Yeah, at the time I really didn't know. I guess I was the first Canadian until, I don't know, I think someone may have published an article or something and was like, you're the first Canadian to sign. And that was kind of cool. I mean, this, looking back now, I mean, maybe not at the time when I was going through it, or being a part of the founding, one of the founding players. But looking back now, I think it's more special than ever, because just to see the growth and the amount of international players that are now playing in the league, I think that to be one of those international players that help open up the door to all these other players coming either from Czech Republic, Russia, Sweden, Finland, wherever they're coming from now. I think that's how I see it. I see it now being more special than ever, because I think it was opening up the door to a lot of these international players to be able to come to this league and kind of be a part of growing it. Because you need players from all over to really make the league be successful. So now I think it means a lot more than maybe it did at the time. Yeah,
and that first season, you actually played for the Connecticut Whale. You played 21 games. You had 5 goals, 12 assists, 17 points, which led all defensemen in the league. You also had 44 penalty minutes.
No surprise.
We'll talk more about penalties later. I just had to throw that part out there. But one of the things you did get to do, and we'll talk about the Whale in a moment, but one thing you did get to do to wrap up your 2015, because 2015 ended up being like a big year for you. You were actually loaned over to the Boston Pride for one game and one game only by the Whale to play in the 2015 Women's Winter Classic at Gillette Stadium the day before the Winter Classic between the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Canadiens. You ladies played against the Montreal Canadiens of the CWHL. And, of course, that game has also been, unfortunately, marred with the injury of Denna Lang. But going into that game, knowing that you had the Boston ties, and that's why you were one of the few that were selected to play for the Boston Pride in that game, what did that mean to you?
That was one of the coolest experiences of my hockey career by far. Despite kind of what came out of that with Denna and having played with her, I mean, you wouldn't want that to happen to anyone. But the experience itself and the game and the meaning of the game was awesome. I mean, being a kid that had gone to school at BU, I had actually never been to a Patriots game in my 4 times at BU, so terrible New England sports fan. But that was actually my first time being at Gillette, was actually skating on the ice. And so that was pretty cool. But that game was really, for me, kind of a moment where I realized this league has potential to really do something cool. And to see kind of the fans that came out and just the opportunity to show, you know, you had Montreal, so you had a lot of strong players from the Canadian League, and then, you know, you have a team like Boston that was a really loaded team that year. I knew a lot of the girls, so it was kind of cool to be able to play with them, just kind of putting aside the actual regular season kind of games and competitiveness aside. Just being able to go and be able to play, I mean, it's not easy to explain. You kind of just really relish the moment. I remember skating around in warm-ups. We didn't have our helmets on for warm-ups. We wore beanies. And just feel it, like looking up at the Jumbotron, they had like all the players' pictures come up when they were kind of going through the roster, and I looked up at the Jumbotron and saw my big face on the big screen at Gillette, and I was like, this is pretty cool. And I'll never forget that moment, despite the game going so by quickly and obviously the other stuff that happened. But it was definitely a really cool experience to be a part of.
Yeah, and of course, one thing that a lot of people also don't know about that game is that it wasn't televised.
Yeah.
And really the only promotion that was really done for this game was through the NWHL and the CWHL Twitter and Facebook accounts, and by the players like you tweeting about it, posting Facebook statuses about it. Like, you had to be a fan of those two leagues to actually know that that game was going on, because the promotion wasn't really there. It wasn't on television. Right. And the only way to find out what was going on in the game was through press people who actually wanted to cover that game.
Right.
And right. Posting stuff about it on Twitter. And but I also think that after that, it also contributed to the Boston Pride getting the Nesson deal for the remainder of the season, the ESPN3 deal for the playoffs, for the NWHL for the rest of that season. So it did do good at the same time. It's just looking back at it, you go, man, it would have been cool if this was like at least shown on the NHL network as like, hey, look, we're having an actual game. I mean, if you're going to put the alumni game up on there, you might
right.
have, you get the women up right. there too. But
yeah, it's crazy now, because with the amount of coverage that the NHL network has been putting on the NWHL in the past year, you know, the basically halfway through last season and then this season, just with guest players going on and during the rivalry series, you know, CWHL and NWHL, those acronyms, you know, those abbreviations are like coming up like every other word coming out of the NHL network's mouth, which is shocking to me for someone that's been not shocking, but it's about time. You know, for someone that's kind of seen it through the past 4 years, it's that never would have happened 4 years ago. Yeah, like you said, it's kind of crazy looking back, to someone that's been going through it. Yeah.
And you're definitely one of those pioneers, because you've been with the NWHL since day one and you've been helping it grow. You're an all-star the first two seasons in the league. You're an all-star as a Connecticut Whale and as a New York Riveter. The name wouldn't change until the third season. But you were on a very good Connecticut Whale team that very first year. You came in second place in the regular season, but you were bounced by the Buffalo Buttes in the semifinals. What was that season like in general, playing for the Connecticut Whale and then having kind of the finish that you ended up having?
The playing for the Whale that season was really cool. We actually had a really good group. There's a bunch of stuff that actually went on behind the scenes, with our coach getting fired halfway through the season. We had like two or three GMs come through. I mean, there's a lot of things.
You had an interesting season.
Yeah, there was a lot of ups and downs, to say the least, for that season. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that, I mean, it was kind of crazy. And being one of the captains on the team, there was a lot of stress from a leadership standpoint that I remember being on the phone with Jessica Kazumi
at the time, and we would be on the phone like every other day, kind of discussing like, what are we going to do? You know, just talking about all different situations and what's best for the team, and like, you know, how are we going to get through this? Because we were having an unreal season. I mean, we were 8-0 for the first part of the season, and half our team, not half our team, majority of our team were just, there's just so much stuff going on that majority of our team wasn't happy with, but we were winning games. So it was this kind of like ironic situation. But yeah, we had a heck of a hockey team. We had unbelievable skilled players. And yeah, then we got bounced first round of the playoffs, which was kind of a shame. And then they're still the same playoff, similar playoff format. At the time we played the 3-game series, which I think is a way better setup than what it is now with like kind of 1-game knockout. But yeah, it was more frustrating than anything because we knew how good our hockey team was, knew how good of a goalie we had, looked at all of our players individually, how skilled we were, and just the chemistry, team chemistry we had, that it was more frustrating than anything getting bounced in the first round.
Yeah, and then the very next season, you would actually go on and sign with the New York Riveters. You would play the full 21 games that season. You'd be an all-star yet again. But you had 1 goal, 7 assists for 8 points for 22 penalty minutes. You're just going to keep on bringing up those pims.
Yeah, playing with the Riveters was it was a little bit different. I actually spent half of the season as a forward, which a lot of people don't remember, too. I was kind of Taylor Holtz ended up getting injured, and my coach knew that I played forwards, and I played about like 10 games in college playing forward, and was like, hey, do you want, you know, can you go play forward for us? And I thought it would be for, you know, a game or two, but it ended up turning into
half the season.
The rest of the season. You want to do whatever's best for the team. So it was kind of one of those conversations we had where we had really good depth on the blue line, and you know, it just made sense. And so I felt like I just took on a different role that was more of a role player, which is perfectly fine with me. But I just felt that my position on a team was just a little bit different than the season before, where the season before was, I was a defenseman that was out on the ice in every single situation, and I got a ton of ice time, and that, you know, that definitely helps lead to success in terms of statistics, but I just resumed a little bit of a different role, and I felt it helped actually me really grow as a player, whether it, you know, put up some stats or not, or put up some points or not, which doesn't matter. But
did you feel lost in the shuffle at all when you moved from D to O? Because I know that, like, I've had situations where, like, because I was a goalie for 4 years, my coach would put me on defense from time to time, even though I was a natural winger, and I would feel lost on D. Did you ever have those type of feelings? Like sometimes when you switch from D to O?
Yeah, not really lost in the shuffle. I mean, I was very comfortable with playing forward. I just felt like I could have been utilized maybe a little bit more to my strengths, I guess. I felt like I wasn't going to be getting, you weren't going to be getting the best out of me or the most success out of me, or me producing the most, in the situation I was in. That was just me personally. You know, at the end of the day, coach makes the decision, and I'm the type of player that's just going to go whatever that coach thinks the best for the team. And if that's the decision that's made, then absolutely, I'm totally all in. I've always been that type of player. But it was just very different for me. I thought I played the best that I could in that situation. And yeah.
Now, the next season, last season, you played for the Boston Pride. You actually played 11 games, no goals, 5 assists for 5 points with 20 PIMs. What was last season like for you? Because if what I read was right, you weren't with them at the start of the season. You kind of signed a little later on. Is that correct?
Yeah. At the end of the season, obviously being Canadian, I was going through some immigration changes. I was applying for a green card. I started that process back when I was playing for the Riveters. And so I was going through some work authorization situations. And so I ended up, I started working a job at the very end of the season. When the season ended with the Riveters, I ended up taking a job, and I was living in like the DC, Virginia area.
Not far from me.
Yeah.
Cause exactly. I'm in Maryland.
Yeah. I was working in Tyson's Corner. My oldest brother has a hockey company in Reston. And so I was part-time working for them and working, full-time for a company in Tyson's Corner. And then, I was kind of just going to be doing that for the off season, during that time, kind of going through this whole green card process. And then, things kind of all were working out, falling into place. I was waiting for approval for some stuff. And then, I came back to Boston when all that was settled. And that's when I signed with the Pride and came back like mid season. And I think I missed the first 5 games, but other than that, yeah. It was a different year. We had a lot of players. Obviously, any year where there's it's during an Olympic year, it's always a interesting year. It's different. I mean, it's always been like that. My senior year of college, it was like that. It's kind of this. You'll see a shift in, I'd say, kind of just how things work out during those Olympic years, and so. Yeah, the Pride, they, you know, were short. A lot of new faces, a lot of new players, and a brand new coach. So I think it was – I hopped in halfway through, so I kind of just was, like, getting thrown into it and just kind of going with the flow of it all. Yeah, I know there was a lot of struggles before I got there. And then actually looking at the team we had, not too different than what we have this year. Individually, I think we had some great players last year, but just couldn't find a way to win hockey games. That was a struggle that we had, was just like the chemistry to win hockey games. And I think that's the biggest difference from the team we had last year and this year.
To get on to this season, you've played in all 14 games so far. You got 2 games left of this season. You've got 2 goals, 7 assists for 9 points with 24 PIMs. Yesterday, obviously, you had your 4 assist game, and you got a penalty with 35 seconds left in the game.
Yep.
I promise. There's a theme to the people listening to this. There's a theme. Kaylee and I talked about this beforehand. There's a theme for the penalty minutes, but so you're having a pretty good season this season with the Pride. The Pride currently are sitting tied for first place with the expansion team Minnesota Whitecaps at 10-4-0 with 20 points each. You have Buffalo at 9-4-0 with 18 points, and then there's a massive dip with Metro and Connecticut in 4th and 5th respectively, both with 6 points each. Metro in 4th place because they're 3-11-0, whereas Connecticut's 2-9-2. So for you so far this season, how would you fare your season has been and also the Pride season has been?
I think individually, I had a slow start. I think that's kind of the toughest thing with this league is that there's not a lot of games. So I think individual play, like you can't really start off slowly. And that's for you know, the full success for your team. You kind of just kind of got to be ready to go the minute the season starts and go hard for, you know, the short period of time that you have. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's tough because, you know, there's a new coach. I didn't really know Paul coming into it. I don't know how much he knew about me. I don't really know, kind of all of that, but yeah, I think as a team, I think we have an awesome team this year. Just the chemistry in the locker room, the individual talent on the ice, and just our ability to score a lot of goals. That's a really good thing. Obviously, we have a heck of a goaltender, which also helps. But I think the team that we do have has potential to win it all. It's a finicky kind of season because, you know, you kind of get the entire, because everyone makes the playoffs, you just have the entire time to really, you know, work on the things that you need to work on. And then it really comes down to a couple of hockey games. You know, obviously we played really well yesterday and, you know, had some fun out there and people are enjoying it. But that's kind of the biggest thing with our team is everyone's like light and loose in the locker room and everyone's having a really good time. And, you know, it makes hockey fun. And that's the good thing about our group is everyone in the locker room is, you know, means business when we get out on the ice, but everyone's having a really good time doing it. So I'm really enjoying this year and I love the group that we have. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how the last couple games play out and this road to hopefully winning the Isabel Cup.
Now, you mentioned all the teams make the playoffs. The last time we had Nate Oliver on, which I believe was like 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, he went over what the playoff format's going to be. And the way the playoff format's going to work, and this is according to Nate, so if anything changes, everyone can just yell at Nate Oliver. Sorry, Nate, got to throw you out there for that one. But the number one seed gets a first round bye.
Yeah.
Then 2 and 3 play each other, and 4 and 5 play each other.
Yep.
One plays the winner of 4 and 5, and the winner of 2 and 3 automatically goes to the championship game.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? Because to me, as a player, I feel a little weird about that. I would rather it be 4 and 5 play the wild card and then kind of go into it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the kind of the way I would see it. I mean, I also wouldn't mind if the fifth place team just didn't get a spot coming into playoffs. I mean, it would really make the regular season competitive. And I mean, obviously it's competitive for obvious reasons, but I think it would really hold water to the games that we do play. You know, if that fifth place team just didn't make playoffs, you could also do it that way. But yeah, the format you said as well, those are kind of the two ways, I would see it. I know a bunch of the girls, this is a conversation we always talk about in the locker room. There's definitely debate between everyone and the way they see it. But, I know a lot of people are on board with kind of all different formats the way they see it. But I mean, it is what it is. And for us, it's just, hey, like, let's win the hockey games we have left and just win out. That's all you can really do. It really comes down to that. Just comes down to winning a couple hockey games.
And with that said, you have two games left this season. The Buffalo Buttes have 3 games left, and the Minnesota Riveters Minnesota Whitecaps, they have 2 games left as well. Those are really the two teams that you guys got to really watch in the standings, because it's pretty much clear that the Metropolitan Riveters and the Connecticut Whale are going to play each other in the first round of the playoffs.
Yes.
So it's really between Boston, Minnesota, and Buffalo for that first spot. Which one would you... Okay, this is going to be kind of a weird question because of the way the playoff format is. Would you prefer to be the first seed and get that first round bye and then play either Metropolitan or Connecticut in the semifinals? Or would you rather be the second, third place team playing either Minnesota or Buffalo and then potentially winning to go right into the championship game? Which would you prefer? And then if you go with a 2-3 scenario, which team would you prefer to play?
Well,
I know it's a real brain teaser just because of the way the format's set up.
Well, I don't know. The way I see it is I would rather be playing in the 2-3 and then going to play in the final. 2-3 because you got to beat one of the best teams to then go on and beat the better team to win it. I mean, it's, I don't know. I prefer just going to play the hard team and then just go and play two good hockey games. Whether that's a good answer or not.
I mean, with the way the format is, it's a really tough question.
And then I would probably rather see, because of the success that we have had this season, I would probably rather just see Minnesota in the 2-3 game, and then see Buffalo in the final, just because we haven't been able to string a really good hockey game against Buffalo. So I would think that at some point, and this is just kind of the way it is, like, you play a hockey team so many times, at some point the team that loses is gotta win. And I think a lot of the times that, I guess, the struggle that we've had against Buffalo, you know, they have really good goaltending, and to be able to like crack that gate open is really tough. But, you know, as good as those goalies are, as strong as their team is, like, hopefully we could catch them on a bad night, or squeak something past them. So, the way I see it is I'd rather play probably Minnesota, in the 2-3, and then, Buffalo in the final. Yeah, I don't know. Ask me that question on another day. I might have a different answer.
All right. Well, we'll definitely have you back on another day, but talking about Minnesota Buffalo, I want to shift a little bit of focus onto them right now, because when Minnesota came into the league, the big question was, is that what type of impact would they have? Nobody expected them to come in and just kind of run roughshod to start the season. And they still, in a way, kind of do run a little roughshod. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the league. But then the other talk was on Buffalo because they signed Shannon Zabatos, Nicole Hensley, they got Emily Falzer back. You know, they have a lot of their core from that championship team from two seasons ago back. So everyone's focusing on Minnesota and Buffalo. And also, to quote Nate Oliver on this, he puts you guys, the Boston Pride, as the dark horse of this season because of all the focus that's been put on Minnesota and Buffalo. How do you feel about being viewed as more of a dark horse, being more in the shadows because of all this attention that's been put on Minnesota and Buffalo?
I love it. I mean, yeah, if people want to see us as the dark horse, that's perfectly fine by me. I mean, I'm confident of the people we have in our locker room. I mean, at the end of the day, like, Minnesota's a great team. Buffalo's a great team. You know, Buffalo has a lot of resources, a lot of support. I mean, with their ownership with the Pegulas, I mean, there's been a lot of attention on them, evidently. And Minnesota as well. I mean, they've got some great hockey players. There's no reason why those teams actually shouldn't be in those types of conversations. I think the players on their team have had outstanding seasons. I think Buffalo's couple of their offensive players have had some great seasons, and obviously their goaltending, and then same thing with Minnesota. So, I mean, those types of conversations don't surprise me. And if people want to view those two teams as kind of the top two, I think they they can form those opinions around that.
Well, to give a little context, the reason Nate said it is that, you know, Minnesota came in the league. They've been very dominant this season. Buffalo, as you mentioned, the ownership from the Gulas, the signings that they had, a lot of expectations on them. And actually, it was a midseason coaching and GM change that turned things around for them, because they didn't start off the season very well. They're like a 500 team, and now they're five games above 500 now in third place. But the one thing that Nate said is that while all this focus has been on Minnesota and Buffalo, you ladies have just been kind of playing your game, winning your games, and, you know, just kind of been there, but just not part of the conversation per se.
Well, and it's funny that that's the case too, because every game we've played against Minnesota, we've destroyed them. Now
that's your statement right there.
I mean, we went to Buffalo, we went to Minnesota and swept them handedly. I mean, look at the score. Score is pretty indicative of that. They came to us and we spanked them again. So, no, yeah, I mean,
and if I remember right, those are the only four losses they do have this season.
Yeah. So, but you know what? I quite honestly, I think the three teams, like between us, Minnesota and Buffalo, I mean, all teams are really good. So I think all three of us should be in that conversation. But I know our team in our locker room, I mean, no one really pays attention to any of that. If anything, it's just like fuel, fire for a lot of the people in our locker room. We got some pretty passionate people in the locker room. So I know people just take that. And yeah, I mean, I have no problem being seen as the dark horse. I mean, I think we've got a pretty kick-ass team. So, pretty good team. So
don't worry.
Yeah, no, I'm excited
doing
for that.
Plus soon. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We'll bring Kelly in. She'll do all the cursing.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. Kick ass is fine. But you mentioned two words, and it's a great segue: fire and passion. You take a lot of penalties. You had four assists yesterday, and then you take a penalty with 35 seconds left in the game. And even the commentator said it wouldn't be Kaylee Fracken if she didn't take a penalty. Where did that all come about? Is it just the style that you play where you just end up taking a lot of penalties? Or is it really just that fire and passion that you get into the game and you just – penalties are just part of your game?
Yeah, I think – I don't know. I kind of have this conversation with a buddy of mine on his podcast the other day. I think it's just the style of hockey that I've always played, and a lot of that obviously stemmed around playing boys hockey for majority of my career until I went off to college. And so obviously that style is still going to be in my game, even though I've changed and adapted it, you know, to playing female hockey. But it's funny because you play in one game, and a lot of it comes down to like reffing and playing one game, and the consistency is different. Refs will let a lot of, you know, physicality go, and then you go to another game, and it's like you touch someone, they fall over, and you get called for whatever. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think it has to do with my style of play, but I'm just an aggressive player. I'm like not afraid to go into the corner and get rough and tough, and I think a lot of it just stemmed from my style of play growing up as a playing boys hockey, and just kind of who I am, this type of person I've become on the ice. So yeah, I think I guess you could say all of those in one: fire, passion, aggressiveness. I've never been a non-aggressive person out on the ice, so whether a ref that day is going to let things go or not, I think that kind of determines whether I'm going to be getting penalties or not.
Yeah. So you talk about them boys playing men's hockey. The NHL now has been, over the past couple seasons now, more accepting. I'm going to say more accepting to the women's game, because before the start of last season, you had the deal between the New Jersey Devils and the Metropolitan Riveters, which was a 3-year deal. They're in the second year of that deal right now. And then a few months after that, the Pegula family purchased the Buffalo Buttes. And then one of the big things that the NWHL has been doing is relationships outside of the markets, like with Pittsburgh this season with the All-Star Game, Nashville. And then recently the Boston Bruins and the Boston Pride teaming up for girls play hockey programs. And, of course, the Minnesota Wild teaming up with the Minnesota Whitecaps. What's it like, especially these last couple seasons, to really see the NHL get involved with the National Women's Hockey League and help grow the game?
Yeah. I think it just is a testament to the progress. And I guess for someone that's been in the league, kind of seeing it all evolve, I think it's really just showing that growth. And it means a ton. I mean, the product of girls hockey has always been strong, but it's just having a little bit more of that extra exposure. And with these partnerships, especially with the Bruins in the past, month, with just like the amount of kind of community outreach events that we've been doing with a lot of the girls and getting them involved in playing, it's just that exposure and having people that didn't know we existed, know we exist now, and people that aren't just a part of that hockey community. It's getting people that may not have even gone to a hockey game, but are now are like, oh, that would be so cool to go watch a women's hockey game. I didn't know there was a women's hockey team here, in a professional team here in Boston. So I think it's just reaching those people from outside of that hockey community that, may have already had heard about our team name. And that's for all the teams, in New Jersey, them getting that exposure in Buffalo, and obviously Minnesota is a hockey state. So they embrace women's hockey. They always have. But yeah, I mean, it's truly growing and, it's awesome for the sport.
Yeah. And, here's to more continued growth. I want to throw this out there. I'm expecting Pittsburgh to be the next expansion team. After Pittsburgh, who could you see getting two teams to make it an 8-team league?
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's a great market. I don't know. With that showing in Nashville, that'd be pretty cool to have a team there.
There's a Facebook group called Bring the NWHL to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, no.
Bring Skarupa really back home.
Yeah, with the growth of just the sport in general, actually in that DC, Maryland, Northern Virginia area, I think that'd be a great spot to have a women's team.
Any of those teammates is from Rockville, Maryland, which is 15 minutes away from where I live, and that's Hannah Skarupa.
Yeah, there's a couple of girls in the league that played for the Washington Pride. So, you'd be able to get a good group of girls there.
Yeah. So, Nashville, from what Shaggy was telling me, he's our NWHL correspondent, mostly on the Connecticut Wales side of things. He was saying Nashville was a blast. And one of the reasons I say Pittsburgh is because Pittsburgh could be the good in between where some of the markets are now to Minnesota.
Right.
And then if you want to go to Nashville, do a team in DC, and then that DC team could be kind of like the in between Nashville and the way the markets are up north.
Yeah. And they're all good markets where just people are so into hockey, or they're becoming really into hockey. And like all the girls on our team that went to the All-Star game, we're talking about how cool it was. how their first half of that All-Star game, there was like a ton of people left over from the Preds game that like wanted to stay and watch for a bit. So, yeah, I mean, it's people are definitely interested in watching the game. People are excited about women's sports. I mean, it's just a time and era where that's the way it is. And yeah, I think that any of those markets would be cool. I mean, the All-Star game in Pittsburgh was, there was a ton of people there too. So I think it'd be a really cool market. So yeah, I agree. Any of those ones.
So like I mentioned, you have two games left. What are the coaches telling you to help you stay, you and your team, to stay focused going into, these last two games heading to the playoffs?
Just keeping consistent. I think the biggest thing in our locker room is we have to come out fast against teams, and I think that's where we have our success, is when we're getting on the board first and our legs are moving. So strategically, we're working on stuff in practice. We'll work on, obviously, depending on who we're playing, we'll probably work in some specific systems, especially when it comes down, like, when it comes to playoffs, when we find out who we're playing against, we'll like really hammer down on some defensive stuff. You know, yesterday we had a lot of success offensively, but we definitely need to clean up areas defensively. So, you know, this week in practices, a lot of it's going to be focused on defensive zone awareness, some stuff to work on, but also our specialty teams. Our team's been very, very good on the penalty kill this year, but you know, we have to stay consistent on our power play. So that is really a game changer, for especially if you're playing like one or two games in a playoff. So
So schedule wise, this Saturday will be the Metropolitan Riveters versus the Buffalo Buttes in Buffalo, and that'll be at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And then on Sunday the 24th, you will be traveling to Connecticut as the Boston Pride take on the Whale at Terry Connors Ice Rink at 3 p.m. And that will be the Twitter game of the week. So now you know who you're going up against. You're going up against Connecticut.
Thanks.
Prepare promptly. So with that, we are near the end of time. So Kaylee, where can the people find you on the social medias?
If you want to follow my terrible Twitter game, it's at Fragden13. Instagram, pretty sure it's the exact same thing, at Fragden13. And yeah, you can catch some good quality content.
All right. Of course, as always, ladies and gentlemen, you can find out more about the National Women's Hockey League by going to nwhl.zone and on Twitter at nwhl and facebook.com/, I believe it's just nwhl. And of course, for everything TXHT, just go to txhthockey.com. We have all of our articles, game recaps. We just got our 2019 trade deadline page up and running. And just to throw this out there, while we were recording, I've been talking to our Toronto writer too. Matt Duchene is not playing tonight for the Ottawa Senators. It sounds like a trade may be coming soon. So something to keep an eyes out for. And then also Artemi Panarin's not playing, but John Tortorella said that he's sick and that's why he's not playing. So stop thinking about trades. But that's also good old John Tortorella for you. So with that, Kaylee, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And you are welcome to come back onto the show anytime you want to talk hockey. I know you hinted about wanting to talk about other things later on, so we'll definitely get you on to talk about those other things.
Alrighty.
Talk about it. So ladies and gentlemen, with that, until next time, we will see you on the ice.